corner where the treats at.
Is this the passing of the torch, right? Is this what this signifies?
It comes down to that front office and what they feel is most important.
The champ is here. We've touched down from a higher plane. Why you made it here?
We always look forward to that week because it was always intense. You know that we ain't
coming back. We got to the man, the myth, the legend, Dante Hall. My favorite player growing up was Dante Hall. I love you guys in the show, but Dante was my guy. Get to dashing because you're done on the war feet.
This episode of Chief Concerns is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Chief Concerns. I'm Marcus Dash here with legendary Chiefs tight end Jason Dunn. JD, how are we doing, brother?
What is up? What is going on, my brother? How you doing? How you doing?
I can't complain, man. It's a good time of the year. We got, you know, we're itching closer to football season. And then tonight we got the NBA draft on. So my Sixers are going to be picking here probably midway through the show. But NBA offseason is like pretty much a season in itself. You know, it's like a lot of trades, a lot of signings, a lot of pickups. So that's going to be fun. So I'm excited for that. But then, of course, a day closer. Every day that goes is a day closer to the season, baby. And that's all I can be thankful for.
I hear you, man. Look, you're a diehard Sixers fan, and I love that you are. You know, when I was in Philly, you know, they had the answer, Allen Iverson up there during the time. And I've told you stories about Vernon Maxwell, you know, Mad Max, and kind of running into him at a spot. I must get into it, man. So it takes me back, Marcus, when you talk about the Sixers to me. But, you know, my thing is they always missing a piece. They're always missing a piece. I love to see these guys get there to the finals. But, man, they always just seem to not have enough around Embiid. And I don't know if it's just Embiid going through him all the time is a problem and the issue. And I think people do have that. You know, sometimes I think about it too, but you got to have a guy, man, who just shoot the lights out of the ball. Got to have that.
And with the emergence of your guy from Kentucky, Tyrese Maxey, that helped this past year, seeing that he can be the number two to Embiid. We just need a defensive wing who can play 3 and D, and that's pretty much it. We find that wing who can do that. I think we can at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals, and that's all I really want. I don't want a championship, JD. I just want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. We haven't done that. It's 2001 when Allen Iverson was there. So it's been a while.
It's been a while. Say what's up to everybody in the chat tonight, man. Charles Driver, how's it going, my man? Wendy, how you doing, sweetie? Kathy Welch, Donna, welcome, ladies. Welcome. Lego my ego, good to see you. Gary Holland, my man. Good hollering at you. Good evening, Mr. Dunn. I'm the Brown. Good evening, sir. Let me see who else we got in here. Maria. Let me see who else we got going through here. Lacey Snake, good to see you. Good to see you. Maria, I seen that. Andrea Chenault. What's going on, Andrea? Sandman. All right, let's go. I think I seen Haram Habif, Traveling Man. What's going down? Good to see all the people in here. See what's going on tonight. Chief's Concerns. We're going to bring out a good show for you all, talk to you all, but it's always good seeing your folks. The good people here in this family. So welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Yes, sir. So we got a variety of stuff to go over tonight. But one thing I want to start off with, something fun. Look at the chat going a little bit. Real quick.
I just want to acknowledge somebody. Man, so I spoke with Shane Bishop, who is the Dateline producer. Okay. And he was a huge Chiefs fan, still a Chiefs fan. And so we kind of started, you know, talking back and forth. Man, he sent me a nice mug, picture, you know, this guy. I know everybody knows this dude right here on NBC Dateline, that guy.
Oh, right? Wow.
Yeah, and so Shane Bishop, man, thank you so much for making my day. I told him that Dateline was one of my favorite shows they have out there. They have all great stories and whatnot. But I just wanted to acknowledge that to say, Shane, appreciate it, my guy. Appreciate it. I mean, we're going to send you something from Chief Concerns out to you just to let you know how big a fan, at least from JD, I know. So, Marcus, look, you're in the business, media business and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. What is Dateline? How does that mean to you as far as, you know,
Dateline NBC, 2020, ABC, all those, you know, are shows that, you know, in journalism school we did watch to kind of get, you know, different pieces of, you know, how to be an investigative reporter, you know, getting the clues, you know, finding out who to talk to and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Dateline. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I know all about Dateline, JD. So, yeah. How did this happen? How did Shane Bishop and where did you guys start talking?
Man, on Twitter. And I liked the post that he put out there. And when I started following him, he seen I was following him. He was just like, hey, man, Jason, I'm glad you start following me. And I was like, man, dude, this is an honor. Like, you have no idea how much I love Dateline. And so we just started talking that way. And he was saying he was a huge Chiefs fan. He remembers me playing. He's been a fan since that time. And he's like, man, I'm going to send you something, Jason. I'm like, dude, like, you don't have to do any of those things for me. But he was like, man, I have to, because you said that you like Dateline so much. So, yeah, man, it was a good experience. Great experience, actually. So that's how it all worked, man. Yeah. Twitter that's brings right, people yeah. together. They do. And sometimes they pull people apart. So this one put a good union together, man.
We have some good luck with social media. You know, that's how, for all you guys, that's how JD and I met. JD and I met on LinkedIn Messenger. And then this beautiful friendship formed. You know, 4 years have gone by. And look at this beautiful friendship. And then look at you, Shane Bishop, messaging each other on Twitter. There you go. Yeah. Social media can be a good thing. I know people want to focus on negative. Thing. But it can be a very good thing, very positive thing.
100%. 100%. Yeah, good deal.
That's cool.
Well, go ahead, brother. What was you saying before?
I wanted to get the chat kind of alive tonight before we get into the topics facing the Chiefs now. So obviously on our Monday shows, we've been doing a lot of AFC West kind of stuff, just looking at the AFC West picture going into the season. Mm-hmm. But we'll do a little bit of historical aspect of it. So JD sent me this thing on Instagram, this post here. And got to get everyone's insight on it, especially yours, JD, because we haven't actually had a chance to talk about it yet. So this is the all-time AFC West teams offensively and defensively. We're going to go over that right now. So please, guys, I want to hear what everyone has to say in the chat tonight. So here we go. So here it is, JD.
Oh, man.
All-time AFC West. All-time AFC West offensive teams. So, JD, I want to hear you play with some of these guys on this list here. So I got to hear your take on this whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Woo. Okay. So we got Tim Brown, wide receiver. Tyreek Hill out there, the other wide receiver slot. You got Keenan Allen, the Damian Thomas as the running back, Patrick Mahomes, quarterback. Terrell Davis, other running back. TG, Tony Gonzalez as the tight end. And then you finish up on the line, Willie Rofe, Gene Upshaw, Jim Otto, Will Shields, and Ron Mix. I like it. I like it. I like this right here, all-time AFC West offense. It's hard because everybody has their own, you know, personal guys that they like. I don't mind this group right here. I think this group right here could beat any team you put out there right now against them. But yeah, man, you know, Willie Rofe, Will Shields, and Tony Gonzalez, man, those are guys I played with. Hall of Famers, and without a doubt, I think I deserve it for this. It's a good list.
And guys you played against, too, and LT and Tim Brown.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So
I got to say, my biggest thing here, and for me at least, would be RB2. I don't think Terrell Davis should be RB2. I think TD was great. I think there's a lot of better talent as far as – even if you look at the statistics, I think there's other guys who leapfrog him. I guess in his window was so small of being good. I just think there's other guys like Marcus Allen, you know, because I would say TD would probably be one with Bo Jackson kind of guy, where it was very small sample size how good they were. Marcus Allen would probably be Marby too.
I agree with you. Yeah, Terrell Davis is kind of the question for me. And so when you're looking at it, I mean, you can even use, you know, Priest and those guys. You know, when you start looking at some of the numbers. You know, Jamal Charles. I mean, you start naming some guys really that, you know, could easily be RB2. Shoot, even RB1 is a question. You know, LaDainian, I mean, shoot. Ain't nobody know chopped liver, man, that we had in AFC West, though. This is a good list. This is a really good list. Now, obviously, people are going to be questioning, you know, hey, where about Travis Kelce, right? Tight end for Tony Gonzalez. I'm sure they're going to ask that question, right? I'm sure wide receiver, you might have to say Tim Brown and who I think somebody said Lance Allworth, and then you know Charlie Joyner. So there's a lot of guys that you can name that could be in these little mix of guys. So it's a good list though. I like it.
Yeah. What do you think about Tyreek being wide receiver too? I feel like that's numbers are great. I just feel like we could find someone probably, you know, who's, you know, AFC West lifer kind of guy, you know, a Tim Brown like guy.
Man, I would put Tyreek Hill in the slot more so anything else. I know he plays outside, but if I'm looking to get the most out of Tyreek Hill, I'll put him in the slot. No question about it. So, I'm sure the same thing, like you said, you know, as far as wide receivers on the outside, shoot, you could probably find, you know, some other guys. I'm just kind of looking at it as far as Tim Brown. Tim Brown was a beast out there, you know, so. Mm-hmm.
And special teams too. I mean, he provided a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Bo Jackson was a bad boy. Just cut short. So.
Yeah. And I'm seeing Kathy, OJ Simpson. This is not AFC. This is AFC West specific. So this is all-time AFC West guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to defensive side, JD. Ooh. I haven't really had a chance to examine this one, but what are your thoughts on this? You played against some of these guys, and obviously, you know some of these guys too. So, I mean, where are you going here?
Oh, man. Outside linebacker Von Miller. Middle linebacker, Julian Seau. DN, Howie Long. Defensive tackle, Buck Buchanan. Defensive end, Earl Faison. Middle linebacker, Willie Lanier. Outside linebacker, Derek Thomas. Steve Atwater, Tim Bailey, Willie Brown, Charles Woodson, Johnny Robinson. Oh, that's a solid list. That is a solid list right there. I'm telling you, some of the best to ever do it. Right there, baby. I mean, man, how you scoring? Who you gonna get through? That's my question. Because if you just happen to get past the front line, okay, the defensive line, now you got to deal with Junior Seau, Willie Lanier. You know what I mean? I mean that's gonna be, oh my gosh, it's tall order. Then of course the secondary, Steve Atwater, Champ Bailey, Johnny Robinson, Charles Woodson, Willie Brown. I don't know too much about Johnny Robinson. As much, okay. I know he's a Chiefs guy, but I don't know too much about him. You could probably name a few other guys that could. I give you one. Matter of fact, at the time, okay. I'm sure you could probably get somebody else besides Johnny Robinson, and he's probably supposed to be there, but this is a great defense. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say as far as, I mean, Johnny Robinson, yeah, I mean, I don't know much. This is going back, obviously, yeah. With that. I would say kind of in that same realm as Willie Brown. What do you think about Dr. Death, Jack Tatum, being back there for a
second? Tatum. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Jack Tatum, with it, boy, that joker would have hit you with the clothesline.
Ooh. he'd be banned in modern-day football.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he would. Yeah, it's intimidation factor right there.
Yeah. So. I would say the one thing that stands out to me in this list, because if you look at the offensive side of things, it just kind of shows you how offense has evolved, whereas you got a lot of modern-day guys on the offensive side, whereas defensively, the most modern-day guy here is Von Miller, and you know, he stopped playing in Denver like 5 years ago, so it's like that's the most modern-day guy. And now after that, you got Woodson, who retired, and then Champ. But on the offensive side, you got a lot of guys who are playing right now, which is kind of wild if you look at it defensively to offensively.
Oh yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. But this right here, man, is a good list. I think some of the questions, and I seen this list, they were talking about and just on the offensive side of the ball, let me go back to get the offensive side of the ball of saying the tight ends, the best tight ends have came out of the AFC, and just the AFC West in particular. Gonzalez, Gates, Shannon Sharp, Travis Kelce. I mean, we're literally talking about 4 to 5. Yep, Chris Jones could be one, no doubt about it. Yeah, that's you know, Chris could get in there in the rotation. So that those, you know, Lyle Zato could be one. So there's some guys, there's some really good, some heavy hitters, man. Heavy hitters right here in the AFC West offense. But to have 4 of the 5 best tight ends coming out of AFC West, imagine that, really. 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
You know, 2 best being Tony Gonzalez and Travis Kelce. So from the Chiefs.
So this goes along with what you say when everyone always asks you Kelce or Tony Gonzalez, and this list, you know, impartial person, Tony Gonzalez over Travis Kelce in the starting offense here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tony got the records, you know, and Travis is creeping up right on his heels with everything too, so it's good, yeah. It's good, good list, fun list,
really fun. Yeah, I love mm-hmm. this. So another, before we get into topics, another thing that I wanted to share with our, maybe some of our Kansas City based audience. If you guys are into Christmas movies, Chiefs will have a Christmas movie this year. It's called, let me go to it. And also too, I want to make sure you guys know, if you do live in the Kansas City area, they are looking for extras. So if you go to the website, and you guys can actually apply to be in the stands for the filming of this movie.
Really?
To be an extra, yeah. They're looking for bodies for the filming of this movie. So this movie, it's literally like a Chiefs love story. That's what it's called. The movie's called In a Holiday Touchdown, A Chiefs Love Story. Here's the plot. I thought the plot was great just because it's like, you know, I'm not really – my girlfriend and family members love these Hallmark movies. JD, I don't know if you are. Are you a big fan of the Hallmark Christmas movies? Are you a fan of
them? Yeah, I am. Yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah.
They're nice, positive, love them. They're always like, you know, upbeat, and there's always a happy ending. That's the one thing I do love about them. But Chiefs love story. Alan Higman is sure that her family's life. Alana Higman is sure that her family's lifelong history as Kansas City Chiefs super fans makes them a front runner to win the team's Fan of the Year contest. Derek, director of fan engagement, is tasked with evaluating how Alana and her family stack up against the other two finalists. As the pair spends time together, it's clear there's a spark between them. But when her grandfather's vintage Chiefs good luck winner hat goes missing, Alana begins to doubt everything she believed about fate, destiny, and even questions her future with Derek. Unless, that is, a little Christmas magic can throw a Hail Mary. So that's the plot of this movie.
Oh, wow. Jeez. Okay. Okay.
So very Chiefs-based in this one. So, yeah, I read online. So Holiday Touchdown, Chiefs Love Story is seeking extras. Bodies will likely be needed, especially for scenes set to be filmed at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. And this would be the first – from what I read, it's the first movie that would be filmed at GEHA Arrowhead Stadium. So pretty cool. Pretty cool the Chiefs are going to partner with Hallmark. And they know what they're doing. They're partnering at a time with this whole Taylor Swift stuff going around. It's like, it's a perfect, like, 1-2 punch.
Right, man. Come on. I mean, this is the hottest team, you know, in the United States right now. Okay. And about to be in the entire world because we're just reaching out there even more. But this, I'm for it. I think it, we'll have to see how it's going to look. We'll have to see how it's going to look, man. I want to see what the finishing product's going to be. The plot seems like, okay. You know, but they'll weave this thing together, I guess, to make it look good and seem good. Obviously, there's going to be some stars in here. They're going to be using the Chiefs, I'm sure. Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid is going to be all in here, right? I would assume so.
I'll throw one at you. Andy Reid as Santa Claus.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. That'd be wonderful. That'd be wonderful. Him returning the hat saying, hey, you know what? Found his hat. Merry Christmas, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. And let them be the super fans and win the whole thing, right? That'd be amazing.
Yeah, I was reading this. I was like, there's got to be a way they could fit in Kelce, Mahomes, Andy Reid. And I'm like, oh, Andy Reid. Oh, like Santa Claus. He'd be a perfect Santa Claus. I mean, he'd be great. I mean, Big Red is his nickname, for crying out loud.
Right, right.
I mean, There's only one other big red, Santa Claus. That's big red. So be perfect. So yeah, if you guys are in the KCMO area, apply to be an extra in this movie. That's just a cool thing to say. You were part of the a Hallmark Chiefs movie. I think it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's good. Donna Cochran said, "I'm looking at some of the comments. Got to watch Tony Gonzalez play with Atlanta. Amazing." I played with him in Kansas City. He was here. He was here with the Chiefs first, where he made his name at, for real. No, Kathy's just saying, you know, that's what it is. There's a trailer out. Really?
Is there? I think there might be like a trailer as far as like just saying, I don't know. I just know that they haven't begun filming yet as far as like filming scenes at Arrowhead. That's why they're looking for extras right now.
So. Yeah, so I was going to say, how do you have a trailer if you don't? So
unless they film the other scenes like in the city and then like the football scenes, they're waiting to get the okay, the green light from the Chiefs maybe to film there. I don't know.
Okay. So this is a done deal. This is already in the bag. We know this is being made. This is it.
Yeah, this is it. I want to see some of you guys in the backgrounds in the bleachers during that movie, okay? So you guys better go apply to this thing. I want to see our Chief Concern maniacs in the bleachers for this one.
Yeah. Hallmark movies. Love it.
Yeah. It's nice. You know, Chiefs, romance and holidays. Gotta love it. Gotta love the trifecta.
Yeah, man. Wonderful time with some hot chocolate, you know, kicking your feet up by the fire. Feel good story. It's always, you know, feel good moment with the Hallmark movies. So
yeah. And with that plot, definitely feel good for sure. All right, so we're gonna get into some football chat here. So we're gonna begin with a guy who's become a hot name. It was a hot name last year for a little bit during training camp. He was making a big push last year. Is Nico Remigio. So Nico Remigio was off to a hot start last camp and preseason until he was hurt with a shoulder injury. I remember he had a really good game in that Saints game, but that ended up sidelining him for the season. But now he's making a strong impression on the staff, emerging as a legitimate weapon at both wide receiver and on special teams throughout OTAs and mandatory minicamp. Recently, special teams coach Dave Tobe said, quote, "He's probably our number one kick returner right now. I put him in that category, so he's got a real good shot in my book to make the team." So, JD, what kind of expectations do you have for the second-year water bug out of Fresno State? I mean, for the fact that he's coming out, Tobe's coming out and saying right away, he's our number one guy right now. And honestly, for all the LRC people, it should kind of scare you a little bit that Remigio's got the head up on LRC right now. But I think it's high praise for Remigio for Tobe to come out right out and say that the guy's inked at number one right now.
Yeah, no, I think they see a lot in Remigio. And so there's a reason they kind of kept him around because they see he has a lot of ability. So it's good for him. It's good for him. He's making noise. And if he's turning heads and they're talking about you for the coaches, that's a good sign. That's a really good sign. He can catch the football. He can make people miss in space. He fits the mold of what we do, right, Marcus? 5'9", about 185 pounds, whatever, man, he can catch the football. He can go up and go get it. I've seen, you know, I remember a couple of catches he made in preseason. He went up and go get the football. And so we need a spark like that. We need a guy that can, you know, could definitely deliver. And so if he's a return guy that, you know, Dave is saying is probably our number one kick returner right now. So I love the word probably, okay? Because it's like, okay, he is, but, it's other people, but he's probably in the whole scheme of thing our number one. But there are other guys, too, that we're thinking. So, you know, Dave is just saying, like, he has a real legitimate shot of making his team. So, you know, we're pushing for it. We push for all these guys to make it. But I do like his I like his attitude. I like his skill set. I think he's a guy, man, that brings a lot of energy to what we do offensively. And so if he's going to do it on special teams, man, I think that's a winner. We just have to see how everything plays out, man, because this is going to be a great competition. In that room, we said that. We said as much. So it all depends. It all depends how it's going to work out in training camp, preseason, how's it going to be. Do we have room enough for a Nico Remigio on our squad? That's the question. So.
Yeah, his numbers at college, that was one thing. I was a big fan of him, you know, watching a lot of Mountain West games. I got a saw. I
I got to see a lot of Nico Remigio when he was at Fresno State. Just his numbers. He was his last year there. He was the first, so second team All Mountain West wide receiver and punt returner. Became the first Bulldog to earn two positional honor. Where's this? His special team stats. So he was All Mountain West first team punt returner. He was fourth team kickoff returner overall. He was ranked number four at FBS in combined kick returns, was the Mountain West leader in punt return yards, and was the led FBS in punt return touchdowns. So he led all college football in punt return touchdowns. Was one of three players in the Mountain West to return a punt for a touchdown in that season, and the only one with multiple. I would say it's a punt return, but I mean, that's impressive.
Yeah, no, that is impressive. You know, me being a special teams coach, I used to look at all the rankings and how it was nationally where guys fit in. And being up there, man, it's a tough thing to do, to be honest with you, to be up the top one or top four at all the schools in this nation. And he's leading the pack. A lot of it goes into the scheme of it, but also too, that's the guy's ability, to make guys miss. You can't block everybody. Sometimes you just got to be able to make guys miss in a phone booth. I always say that all the time. It's what made Dante Hall so dangerous is he had the escapability. He could make guys just absolutely juke them out of their shoes, just break ankles. And I've seen film where Remigio, he has that about him too. So if he brings that to the table for us, man, I love it. I love it. It's always a question of, does he get some snaps on offense too? So,
well, you always talk about when we talk about guys like at the end of the wide receiver list. We're going to talk about another one later on in the show, but like you always talk about the special teams. Can you contribute somewhat on special teams?
Absolutely.
And if this guy looks solid on offense and he's looking like the number one kick returner, and Tope's saying he's got a real chance to make the team. Mm-hmm. That tells you, because he's going to give you a little something on special teams. And one thing too, this is interesting, because when you talk about his moves and making guys miss in a phone booth, our receivers, JD, we haven't really had a lot of guys who had a lot of wiggle. We had a lot of straight line fast guys, right? But since Tyreek, we never really had a guy who had a lot of wiggle, because Tyreek was straight line and he had some wiggle. But yeah, I mean, Remigio might be one of the only guys who's got a little bit of little juice, a little zest on as far as making some moves, looking like a little water bug out there. Because if you look at his highlights, I mean, yeah, he looked like a water bug out there.
Yeah, but I mean, shoot, everything I've seen, he has it about him. I think, I'm not mistaken, I don't know what his 40 time was. I don't think it was really fast, but it doesn't. I don't think that. For a guy like that, he might have been around like the 4.4, 4.5 range, if you're not mistaken. And so when you're looking at a guy that that can outrun guys, that's kind of the factor, right? That's the one that changes a whole lot of different things. What did he run the 40 in? You see,
4.56 at his pro day and 4.57. So,
oh man, okay. Well, it's not terrible. It's not terrible. So sometimes he have game speed, sometimes he feels speed. So that's a real thing. But it doesn't matter. If you can move laterally like you do forward, and like I said, keep guys just from tackling you, I mean, shoot, that's what you want. That's what you want. So.
And this is something that when you talk about the LRZ effect, which everyone always talks about, LRZ, is when we say a guy who's been playing football for such a long time, which Remigio has, right?
Yeah.
He can provide a little bit of a lot of things on a team, be it special teams, and he can be a contributor as far as working in the slot. Because I think we talk about Sky Moore, we talk about Darius Toney. I think he's a guy that would be competing for spots in the slot with them. I think he would be a guy to kind of push those two as far as competing for playing time. And the fact that he can do a lot of things and contribute on special teams, I think that's where it's like, oh, when you talk about the roster, those fringe guys at the end, this is the kind of guy that LRZ is going to have to be battling it out for. And that's why it's like, man, like, it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to make the team, So, because you have guys right. like this.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. Look, no doubt about it. It's going to be some guys left off the squad. And the determining factor is always going to be special teams. It is all about your contribution there. So, he's without a doubt a good slot guy. He understands offensively what he's doing. He's got the offense down. Does he have a breakout year? Can he stay healthy? That's going to be the question. Do the Chiefs trust him doing what they think he can do? Like I said, I guess that just remains to be seen, Marcus, to be honest with you. I like Remigio. I like Remigio. My thing is, do the Chiefs love him? Do they love him?
That's the question. Tobe's a big fan as of right now.
Fan right now. Probably our number one. Probably. So we always know toward the end, when you make the cuts, you make a determination. Guys, especially the fringe guys, move up and down. They move up and down on a daily. And so I always talk about this. If you're going to stand on the table for your guy, he's got to be able to put something out there on film, consistency every single day to say, there's no reason we need to get rid of this guy. Okay. So it's in his court. It's in his court, man. So as long as he performs and does what he needs to do, shoot, he'll be here.
Yeah, I think the one thing about Remigio, because he was looking great last year. I remember he was getting some runs with the first team. I think Patrick threw him a few touchdowns in practice. And I remember everyone was like blowing up about Remigio, and I was like, hell yeah, that's great. I love this guy in college. And also another thing too, he was in a spread offense at Fresno State, and we kind of run a hybrid spread West Coast air raid offense. And you know, kind of definitely fits a guy like him real well, because he can do a lot of things there, because he's kind of experienced with it. Whereas guys like LRZ, who have never had experience with this kind of offense and offense in general, that's where another separation there. But yeah, I think Remigio, had he not gotten hurt last year, I think you can make a case and say that he probably would have made the team over Richie James. Because I remember there was a certain point where Richie James wasn't getting a lot of playing time with the ones. He was kind of running with twos, threes. He gets hurt because they were kind of rotating in and out during that Saints game, that preseason game.
Yeah, he was hurt. And that's always, too, like preseason, you're not really going with the number one quarterback. So they're trying to make a determination based off of that. And so in practice, if you're running with the ones or you're getting some look with Patrick Mahomes, it's always about that chemistry that you have with the number one quarterback. I think from where we were last year with the wide receiver room, he without a doubt would have been able to help us. This has been a good year for the wide receivers besides Rashee Rice. Other than that, it was a lot of questions around everybody else because of, the drops, route running. That was it. Remigio might have been the guy that sparked that, like, oh, man, that's why we need that. Well, shoot, that's why we went back and got Mecole Hardman, okay? Because we needed something because those guys weren't necessarily performing. So I think it's different this year. Totally different room than it was last year, for sure. So it's going to be harder to make it this year than it was last year.
Yeah, I mean, it's very deep, and we're going to talk about one guy who got a lot of hype for the last 2 years. We're not actually hearing a lot about him this offseason, and we're going to bring him for the first time this offseason. We're going to bring him up on the show, and which is crazy because we haven't talked about him at all. I mean, we may have mentioned his name a little bit, but we'll get into that later on in the show. So one of the biggest pieces of news in the NFL world right now is the whole Brandon Ayuk drama with the 49ers, which is being played out publicly online, which is wild. And I was, I've seen some Chiefs content creators kind of throw out, possible Chiefs maybe kicking the tires on Brandon Ayuk. And here's my thing, and this is the question I wanted to pose to you, JD. Mm-hmm. So During the draft, or two weeks before the draft, we heard of this rumblings about the Chiefs, still think that, not getting DK Metcalf was the biggest mistake. And then fast forward to about a week and a half later that the Chiefs did call the Seattle Seahawks on draft night inquiring about DK Metcalf. And Brandon Ayuk, young receiver, stud, they're having their contract negotiations right now. He wants to get paid, and now they're not paying him. He wants out, and potentially the Commanders is where he wants to go to be with his quarterback from college. Are you surprised? And do you think that you haven't heard any rumblings of the Chiefs going after Ayuk? And do you think the Chiefs should be checking in on that situation just based on the fact that we did try to get DK Metcalf? And this is a guy who may not be the same type of player as DK Metcalf, a little bit different there. But are you surprised that we haven't heard any rumblings about us not checking in on this situation?
Am I surprised? Not really. I'm sure, you know, we've kicked the tires just to see what they would do as far as with that, man. Ayuk, he's just going to cost a whole lot of money. He wants to get paid. And rightfully so. He should. So this might not be the best fit for him to come here to get a big payday, paycheck. But I don't think Gary Holland too expensive. I think that's what it is, really. He's a talented wide receiver. We understand that. Look, everybody's going to capitalize on what they've been able to do in the league. No different from him. And so I don't know. When I see guys that are expensive, I don't even look at it, right? If I see guys driving around Lamborghinis and stuff, I'm not even going to look at the price tag. Why? I'm not going to get one. So, hey, we'll deal with what we got. We got capable guys here. Hopefully, and look, this could be an indication what it could be like for you and your organization if a guy's unhappy, right? But we kind of had to get past that with Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown was like, look, you know what? I know where I want to be. Have a chance here. He's starting to love here in Kansas City. We got our guys. I think we got our guys, Marcus. I think we do. The question is Rashid Rice. That's the question. Rashid Rice comes back. We got Hollywood Brown and we got Xavier Worthy. I don't think we need to fill the room up with anybody else. You know, especially somebody who's going to be expensive, who's going to break the bank. I'm sorry. So, yeah, I'm not surprised whatsoever that we haven't heard anything about IU. We just can't pay the guy. We just can't. I get the whole DK Metcalf deal and, you know, maybe want to check and see what that was going to be as far as before the draft and, you know, after. But now, I think we're going to be fine, man. I think we're going to be fine. So, yeah, what do you think? Do you think that we need a Brandon Ayuk here in Kansas City?
I think it would be a luxury. I just think long-term outlook is if Hollywood dominates this year, will he be close to what, you know, when he wants to resign, will it be close to what Ayuk's going to be asking for? I don't think so. I think Hollywood's still going to be much cheaper than Ayuk. It was just a question I wanted to ask, because when you look at DK Metcalf's the next 2 years and his cap hits, he got $25 million next year, or 25 this coming season, and then the following season about 29.5, so $30 million, which is
who's this? DK
Metcalf's contract the next 2 years is $25 million and then $29 million. And the fact that we were interested in doing that surprised me, because you know we talk about, you know, we're not paying receivers. But we're interested in going to get DK Metcalf is making 25 and then 29. It's like interesting. So we are willing to pay for some guys, but not other guys. So yeah, Ayuk, if it was in that same ballpark, if that's what he wants, I think he wants way more than that. So yeah. Obviously, yeah, that's 25 and 29 would be a bargain compared to what he wants, I believe. But if Hollywood does dominate this year, I say any money that you have, you go with him, because I still think it'll be much cheaper than 25 and 29 mil a year with Hollywood on an extension when the season's over.
So yeah, I see him wanting to get paid, no doubt about it. So if we're sort of looking at wide receiver contracts, okay, I mean, shoot, we're looking average a year, okay. Justin Jefferson, 35. A.J. Brown, 32. Amon St. Brown, 30. Tyreek Hill, 30. Jalen Waddle, 28. Devontae Adams, 28. Cooper Kupp, 26. Devontae Smith, 25. Nico Collins, 24. D.K. Metcalf, 24. Deebo Samuel, 23. Michael Pittman Jr., 23. Terry McLaurin, 23. Calvin Ridley, 23. Stephon Diggs, 22. T. Higgins, 21. He believes he's in that conversation. That's what he wants, because he believes he's right there with these guys, right? And that's right. That's 1, 2, 3. That's 12 people out of name, Marcus. Everybody's over 22 million.
That's a lot.
And more. That's a lot. And Gary Holland said, Jason, do you think if Hollywood has a good year, could you see him sign with KC again? I definitely could. Hollywood Brown, to me, is a perennial wide receiver. He's the number one wide receiver in the league. He's right up here with the rest of these guys that you have here, especially feed him the ball. And we know that. I think when a guy, you got a guy that is happy, I think he's happy with getting the chemistry with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to be Patrick Mahomes' favorite target. And if you ever get a guy like that, shoot, pay that guy. Pay him. So I think it'd be perfect. Match made in heaven with him being here. And then if he has a great year, seeing what he was signed for, right? Seeing what he was signed for. So,
yeah, I think a lot. And I think a lot of the wide receiver like kind of talk is still contingent on what's going to happen with Rashee Rice. Is it going to be suspended this year? Is it going to be suspended next year? How long is it going to be? But I mean, if it is, you know, fine in a couple games here, we can be done with that. And then we will go back to our, you know, couple more years of Rashee Rice on a rookie contract. Hollywood Brown, hopefully, an extension. And then you have Xavier Worthy, who can do what a first round receiver should be doing, you know? So.
Well, so right now, you're not really breaking the bank with any of these guys at the moment at wide receiver, okay? Which is a great thing, okay? You got two guys on the rookie contracts, right? Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. And so you can save some money doing it that way, okay? Hollywood Brown is costing 11, you know, I think with incentives, it might be more than that. If I'm 13. Not mistaken, 13, okay? So him making this, and let's just say he has a great year. And so if he's signing for 20 or 22, you're still saving money for a couple more years that you had to pay the younger guys, but you still had to have them perform. So it kind of saves your pockets a little bit. But if you're thinking about bringing in Brandon Ayuk now and cost you a whole lot of money, you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. I haven't seen the Chiefs wanted to do anything like that for a long time with certain guys, right? So
besides, well, the only thing is the DK Metcalf thing. That's the only thing. Besides that, I haven't seen them want to do that at all. And that's why I was very surprised that we were, you know, recording sources that we offered a trade for DK Metcalf, which is funny because we didn't want to spend money on that. So,
right. Right. So,
yeah, definitely got a steal on Hollywood Brown. And I hope it's a happy 1 year. And I hope he signs for longer than that, because I still think even his contract extension won't be anywhere near some of the ones you just mentioned. I don't think it would be anywhere near that.
Well, we never know.
True.
Hopefully, if just to say it is, let's say he blows it out the water. Okay. Absolutely kills it. If he's still somewhere around 22, 23, or 9, whatever. That's still good money, okay? Because the cap goes up every single year. You're still getting paid good money at that point, and you still save money with the younger guys around you, right? So I think he fits more into what we do scheme-wise in our offense than everybody else that we name. More than DK Metcalf, more than Brandon Ayuk. I like a Hollywood Brown here. I do. So
yeah. Yeah, and we've had interest in him for a while. Obviously, the scheme, he fits the scheme really well. So, yeah, I do hope they keep him around for a good while. And one thing about him, which is interesting, because he's coming here for a one-year prove-it deal so he can get, you know, upwards about 19 to 22 a year, whatever, you know, what he's thinking. One thing I will say about him is he's been to the other side. He's been on really shitty teams like Arizona. Yeah. He's seen how bad it can be. He's coming to a perennial winner, hopefully, you know, winning, getting a little taste of that. Being with a great quarterback, being with a great offensive mind, hopefully he's not going to want to break the bank, get paid good, but not break the bank where it's like, oh man, should we be paying you all this money? But no, he, you know, wants to, you know, take a deal where it's like, you know, 19 a year as opposed to 25 a year.
Look, and I think we really had to make the point of, you know, traveling to different places. This is his third team. Do you really want to go to a fourth? Let this be the place, man. If this is where you hang your hat, do a hell of a job here. You should be rewarded for your performance, your production. So if you found a home, if this works for you, I would do everything in my power to stay at an organization like this. You know, Hollywood Brown has been with the Ravens, good organization. Arizona, don't really know too much about them. And then you come here with the top organization in the NFL, you know, Super Bowl winners, where you could probably win year after year and still – I mean, come on, man. I think that would be perfect. So, Donna Cochran says Juju Smith got a payday after the Super Bowl. He did, somewhat of one. Hollywood will be getting a big payday too, probably. I really like how humble and hardworking Hollywood is. I do as well, and I think that his experience here in the NFL for what it's been so far, was a little rocky. And so I think now he appreciates where he is. And that perfect word, Donna, humble. I think he's been humbled by the experience he's had here. So that gives you a whole different perspective on things, how they do business, really where you want to be. I think you really got to do a deep dive into what it is that you really, truly, truly want. And so hopefully he's found his home with the Chiefs, man, and with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. So I would love to keep him here, man. Definitely love to keep him here.
Yeah, he's really embraced it from day one. Well, like 2 days later after he signs, he's in Texas with Mahomes. So, yeah, he's really embraced it, and I think the rapport has been so great already. And I personally don't – if I had a bet on if he would stay in Kansas City after the season, I would bet that he stays. They work out a good amicable deal that maybe even gets signed during the season, to be quite honest with you. That's what I think. And obviously, things have to go well in the season. He has to be injury-free. You know, things have to be working smoothly, and I think that he'll end up staying for a good while. So. And hopefully that and alleviates all the wide receiver questions. We don't have to talk about wide receivers anymore after this offseason. And speaking of wide receivers, is everyone's favorite offseason guy in Justin Ross. So it's the first time that we've talked about Justin Ross this offseason. So one of the biggest names we talked about last year was wide receiver Justin Ross. He made a few highlights during minicamp, which the Chiefs Twitter account, they love showing highlights of Justin Ross because they know what gets them clicks and retweets. He made a few nice catches during minicamp, and he also made a few nice catches during last season before his season was cut short due to some off-the-field legal stuff. So, JD, obviously there's a lot of talk on – we talked about Remigio, and there's a lot of guys at the end of that wide receiver room because it's a pretty full-packed, talented room. A lot of guys do a little bit different things, and he does provide something different that nobody else does in that wide receiver room. Yeah. But based on what you saw last year, and it's very limited to what you saw in during the regular season when he did play – what are some of the things you want to see this year and things that you think that Justin Ross needs to show out this year in order to kind of make the team as far as making that last, whether it's the seventh wide receiver spot, the eighth wide receiver spot, how many they depend on keeping. But what are some of the things that you think that he needed to kind of shore up this year in camp this year in order to kind of maybe secure him a spot again on the team this year?
Well, probably the playmaking ability. You know, the wild guys, the wild organization, I think that's what he has to show. He still has to show. I keep going back to it. The one-handed catches in the breadbasket, he's going to have to keep doing those over and over again to be considered being on the 53-man roster. Does he have it in him? Absolutely. You know he's a talented wide receiver. Obviously, the hiccup he had last year, you know, kind of derailed him, and rightfully so. Because I keep saying it over and over again, playing in the NFL is a privilege. It really is. But Justin Ross, man, he just got to get everything, you know, in order. He just got to keep focus on what he can control. That's it. And that's playing on the football field. And when he's, you know, off the field, controlling that part of his life too. Okay. I don't think we have any more issues as far as with that. But I think Justin Ross, he understands the position he's in. Sometimes it becomes, you know, reality sets in and hits you that this could be my last day. I could be going somewhere else. I don't know. The Chiefs, took a chance on me, bringing me here medically because I wasn't necessarily cleared, and some teams are, you know, off of me because of it. They were scared from it. But he just has to just keep making plays, Marcus. He's got to keep showing and display a skill set that you said we just don't necessarily have from anywhere else on the team, right? Go up and go get it. That's what he can climb the ladder, go get it, okay? He can do the back shoulder throw. He's very athletic in the air, okay? That's what you want to be able to see, a guy who's athletic in the air. He can do those things. So that's what it's going to take for him. Also, too, we talked about special teams. What can he show on special teams? Well, it means going down as a gunner. You got to go down and make some tackles. You got to be able to block guys. You got to find something that you got to do that other guys are not willing to do. So even if you do get out there on offense, go block a safety or a linebacker, okay? Go put your nose in it. Knock a guy off his feet. So just keep showing up. Keep showing up. That's what it's all about in the NFL, man. Like I said, this right here is all about production. It's all about the wow factor. Okay. If you're the fringe guy, you're one of those guys that on the very end, you got to keep showing up every single day. And that's what Justin Ross have to do. So it's going to be tough, man, for these guys to make the team. We said that. Justin Ross is another guy that's right there on the fringe of this thing. So other than that, man, I don't really have any other, you know, anything to say. We seen it. Look, they kept you around for a reason, but they're going to get tired. They get tired of just keeping around, man, just keeping a roster spot if you ain't showing what you could do, right? So that's what I think.
Yeah, the interesting thing about him is, so you know, he was starting to get more snaps because remember they were starting to rotate the receivers more. They were starting to get MVS out of there more, getting him in there more. And I think he had that Minnesota game. He had that back shoulder, nice catch. And he had a great game in that one. I'm looking at stats now. He had four targets that game, 2 for 28, and one was that the long one on the sideline back shoulder, which we thought we were going to start to see a little bit more of that. And then I believe after that Minnesota game. Yeah, he didn't get any other targets up until he played the he got a catch in the Raiders game in the Christmas Day game, one catch for 2 yards, didn't play against Cincinnati, and then against the Chargers, two catches, 17 yards. But that was the game where we rested everybody. So, I mean, yeah, the everything that went off the field, that kind of derailed his season as far as his progression. And hopefully, you know, he's back and right, and he's been working out with Mahomes in Texas. He's been looking great at minicamp. Apparently, from people who were there. So, I mean, he's back. It's just that I think the one thing that will benefit him is if Rice does get suspended, I think that's going to be good for him as far as being able to make the roster. If he is on the cusp, but if Rice is not there, I think that gives him more of an opportunity, more of an opening to kind of do what Rice does in certain routes. Cause obviously the quick screens, cool. I don't think he's a quick screen guy like Rice is, but I think he can operate some of what Rice does on the outside. And I think Ross can do that. And I think that would be beneficial to him if Rice is suspended first half of the season.
Look, he's a matchup nightmare in the red zone. Just considering his height, you know, we were just talking about DK Metcalf having a bigger body receiver. Him being 6'4", like I said, going up and go get it, those are the things we just miss in this offense. And we said Rashee Rice should be able to catch those balls. We don't want to use Rashee Rice in the slot as much, okay? We got slot guys. Hollywood Brown would probably fit in the slot better than Rashee Rice. We want Rashee Rice catching the back shoulder throws. We want to throw the ball up so he can go up and snatch the ball out of the air, right, with his strong hands. Justin Ross has all those things. Let him stretch the defense. Let him go get it. So being 6'4", 210 pounds over a 6 foot, 5'10 DB, that's a great matchup. It's a great matchup. So, yeah, he was coming in, like you said, he was trying to rotate with, you know, MVS. Well, shoot, he could have, if everything didn't happen, he probably, who's to say, he might have taken that over. He might have taken that over. So, I mean, I'm just encouraged. I think when you do have a guy who's 6'4", 210, and I said this is a small man's offense, you got to increase the game. You got to increase, some versatility, what you do offensively. And so, any of them see that. They see it in this guy. We just got to utilize it. Utilize what you have. Exploit your guys for what they can do. So, hopefully, Justin Ross sees a lot of those looks in training camp. That would be the time to do it, to try out every little thing you could possibly think about using Justin Ross for. Throw it. Hey, Justin, get in for this play. Andy, we run it. Okay, sure, do it. Run the offense away around him. See how it looks. So I just think, man, he's different body type. You know, Embry said he does – things differently than other guys in the room. Beautiful. Utilize it then. Use it for everything that he's got. Sure. He wants that. So I say, man, give him what he wants. Let's see exactly what this guy can do. Unleash this guy and just ball out. Let's just see what he can do, right? That would be my thing. I would make sure I go into the meeting room as an offensive coach and saying, look, we got this 6'4 guy on the outside. Let's see what all he can do, coach. Let's throw the ball to him. So
Yeah. It was one of those things that was clear when he would take it on the field. You'd see Mahomes look to him a lot. Oftentimes, he wouldn't throw it to him, or he would get in the Minnesota game 4 targets. I mean, he would go to him a lot. So, I mean, yeah, you'd see Mahomes' eyes go to Ross, and I guess in his progression. And Mahomes always speaks so highly about Ross. We talked about it last year. He spent the summer on his couch, you know, so they have a rapport. It's just all about, you know, finding ways to get him the ball and utilize him in the best possible way they can. And hopefully this offense, the minds they have on the offensive side, they can do that for him. So
I'm going to ask you, and this is with Rashee Rice on there. Give me your 7, because I think we may keep 7 receivers. Give me your 7.
Whew, okay. All right. All right, so Rice, Hollywood, Worthy. Rice, Hollywood, Worthy. Gosh.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on, we got 7. You only named 3.
So obviously the 4th one should be Watson. And I'm not the biggest Watson guy, and I know he's probably gonna make the team. And this is what I think is gonna happen, by the way. This is not who I would want to make the team, by the way. And I know we have a lot of Watson fans in the chat. Okay. But this is who I think is going to make the team. So Watson would be on this at 4.
Okay.
Hardman, 5. And now we have the KT, Sky Moore, and Formigio, Justin Ross debate here. That's a lot, man. We have a lot of receivers. So we're both going to say 7, right? We're going to say 7?
7. Okay. I'm giving you 7. We got 7. Okay.
So right now we got Rice, Hollywood, Worthy, Watson, Harbin. So that's 5. So we have 2 more slots left, and we have KT, Sky, Remigio, Ross. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
All right, so I'm going to go – I'm going to go Remigio.
So, okay. So
Remigio at 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 8, 9. That's 9 guys you named.
Yeah, yeah. So the ones who are on the outside looking in right now, I have 1 more left. So we have Rice, Hollywood, Worthy, Watson, Hardman, and Remigio. So that's 6. So I got 1 more guy left. And the guys that we have on the outside looking in are KT, Sky, and Ross. Okay, so my last with the 7th and final guy on the wide receiver list, I think. Oh man.
Okay. Go ahead.
I think KT makes it as a 7th guy. So I think Sky and Ross on the outside looking in.
Okay. So 7. So we're talking about keeping guys on a bubble, right? Obviously you can still do a couple of these guys, Ross and Remigio, on a practice squad if you need them. Okay. But from what I'm understanding, I want definitive 7. Okay, Marcus. who do you want to see make the 7? Let me put it that way.
Who do I want to see make the 7?
Yes.
I would take out the only thing different I would do, I would take out KT and I put Ross in there at the 7.
So name them. Go ahead.
So my 7 as of right now is Rice, Hollywood, Worthy, Watson, Hardman, Remigio, and KT. Those are the 7 that I have. Who I want to see make it, and I would say take out KT and put Ross in there as the 7th guy. And ideally, I know it's never going to happen because they love Justin Watson. Ideally, you keep KT in there. I'm talking about the most talented guys. If you're going to keep the most talented 7, you would take out Watson and you put Ross in there, and then you'd have a receiver room of Rice, Hollywood, Worthy, Ross, Hardman, Remigio, and KT. That's the most 7 most talented receivers in my opinion.
But 7 most talented is Rice, Hollywood, Worthy, Hardman, Ross, Remigio.
Ross, Remigio, and KT, 7.
So you left out Watson?
Yeah, I left out Watson.
Okay. And KT and Sky, they're gone.
If we're talking about the most talented, no, I have KT on the most talented list.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, but what I actually think is going to happen, I think they're going to keep Watson, And then, yeah, and then I have KT as the last, KT and Remigio as the last two. So 6 and 7 would be those two.
Okay. So this is what I'm going to do. So y'all listening to this, all right? I want everybody who's in the chat, I want you to make your 7, all right? Marcus had a hard time doing his 7.
It's tough.
It's tough 7. I just want to hear what y'all have to say. Illy Beeman, 7. I know this is tough, brother. Yeah.
I'm covering all my bases, baby. I'm covering all my bases, Chad.
Hey, Chad, see, hey, that joker was like, you know, my favorite, or who's the most talented, you know, if they, you know, run this route. I seen him. He tried. It was slick. It was slick by him, Neff, wasn't it? It was slick. So,
who are your 7? You didn't say your 7.
Hold on, I'm going to ask the chat first. I'm going to ask everybody in the chat. I'm going to give you my 7. I'll give my 7. I'm going to get a chat, okay? And I'm going to give you my 7 and why the 7 on it. So I would love to see everybody. Please give me your 7 wide receivers that y'all think is going to make the squad, okay? I know it's early, and I'll say this, okay? Sort of you know, you don't have to be, but how y'all figure out right now, okay? So you're not necessarily loyal to any particular person, but do you think right now the 7 is going to make it? How about that, okay? We're not going to hurt you. We're going to fuss at you for the 7 that you got. How about that, right? It's a safe, this is a safe place to display what you have, right? Oh, man, you crazy. No, listen, give me a 7, okay? Love to see it. And while y'all bringing this, y'all 7, I'll give you my 7, Marcus, okay? I'll give you my 7. Okay, hold on. Gary Holland. Hollywood. Worthy. Rice. Watson, Ross, Remigio, and Moore.
So he has Harbin out, and he has KT out.
Okay. Oh, wow. Very good. Yeah, I like that. John Clifford, let's go. Let's throw LRZ in there for
he's a running back.
Yeah. Let's go with John Clifford. What's up, John? Good seeing you, man. Got Rice, Brown, Worthy, Watson, KT, Ross, and Remigio.
Okay. So Sky and Hardman are out for him.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay. Charles Driver, Hollywood, Rice, Worthy, Sky, Watson, Ross, and Moore.
Hardman out again. Wow. And
KT. Okay. Here we go. Illy Beeman. Here we go. Hollywood, Worthy, KT, Ross, Remigio, Rice, Justin Watson. Okay. No Harmon on that either.
That's consistent so far.
Okay. Harama Biff, Hardman, Tony, Remigio, Worthy, Rice, Brown, and more. Hold on. You might got two. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. Let me go back through your list again. Hardman, Tony, Remigio, Worthy, Rice, Brown, and Moore. Okay. Okay. All right. Not bad.
No Ross, no KT.
No Ross, KT. Now KT's in there. He don't have Watson.
Watson, ah.
Kathy. Okay, Kathy, see what you got. Hollywood, Rice, Worthy, Watson, Nico, Sky, and Hayek. Okay. All right.
Oh, friend of the show, Jaron. Okay.
Yeah. Like it. Not bad. Andrea. Let's go, Andrea. What you got here? Okay. Hollywood, Rice, Watson, Hardman, Ross, Worthy, and KT. Okay. Solid list. Who's missing on this one? That was
on that one. Hollywood, so no Sky.
Yeah, no Sky. No Remigio.
Yeah, no Sky, no Remigio.
Okay. Not a bad list, Andrea. Okay. See who else. Okay, so I'll give you mine. Okay. I'll give you my 7 guys. Okay. I think Rashee Rice makes it, obviously, considering everything that's going on with him. I do believe Rashee Rice is going to be one. Hollywood Brown, no doubt about it, makes it. Xavier Worthy, first round pick, is absolutely there. I do believe that Mecole Hardman is a guy that they like. He's going to be there. That's four. Now, my next three that I'm looking at, I do believe it's going to be Sky Moore. I think Sky makes it. I think they like Sky, what he can give. I think they like KT. I think KT is another guy that they've held and held. They believe in him. And I think they're going to try to keep KT. One, two, three, four, five, six. The seventh guy, okay, is going to be between Ross and Remigio. Okay, I think it's going to be between Ross and Remigio. Now, and obviously, he said Remigio looks good. I think it depends on how it's going to work in practice. But I'm going to say I had Ross before I had Remigio. But after this talking, I'm still going to go with Ross.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah. And I think Ross, because he gives a different skill set, I think, you know, return-wise, here's the reason why I think Mecole Hardman works for return. I think you got KT that can return. Those are the two guys. And also, too, you're thinking about LRZ. If LRZ makes it, he's another return guy. So you got return guys, okay? So does that take away from Remigio's necessity? Sure, I think it does, okay? I don't think you become redundant in the room. And so that may just be one of those things, right? Unless he just completely just blows it out the water, okay? But Ross, I think Ross goes over top Justin Watson. I like Justin Watson, but I do believe that Justin Watson is limited. They seen what they could get out of him last year. It wasn't enough. I don't think it was enough. And so he may be one of those guys on the bubble, and he may be let go just because of it. So this is mine, all right? And then, like I said, I like Justin Watson, but I think for them, they're just going a whole different direction. I think Ross, if he's going to be that guy, he takes over what Justin Watson is able to do, okay, being a solid guy out there.
Yeah.
So let's look at some other ones. Hannah, Hollywood, Worthy, Rice, Remigio, Hardman, Watson, and Ross. Okay, it's good. Look, I'm going to say this. I think everybody has good lists. I think everybody has, you know, you could argue any of these names that's in here. Every single one of these people, every one of y'all that's naming these guys, there's a good list. Like somebody said, this is a great, great problem to have. It really is. Some teams don't have that. Last year, we didn't have this. And so now, because of, you know, we got Hollywood here and Worthy in the first round, it changes things a whole lot, a whole lot. Charles Jarvis said, I could see them tossing a coin for the last guy. I don't know. They look, it ain't no coin toss. You had to beat guys out. You got to beat guys out. Donna Cochran, Hollywood, Rice, Watson, Hardman, Ross, Nico, maybe Worthy or KT.
Worthy's definitely making it.
Definitely Worthy or KT. So then everybody goes into the whole thing. KT is already paid and he's good. Yeah, but if it's the talent. It's the talent, right, that they're looking for. They're looking for this guy to hit. If he doesn't hit, I think that if they release him, they'll release him early, you know, so he can kind of go somewhere. If that's going to be the tale with him. But I think they, you know, they've had him here because they believe he can give a lot. You know, we've seen it in return, right? We talked about the longest return Super Bowl history is KT, okay? Ross was awesome. Yes, he is. Charles Driver. Watson made some clutch plays for us last year. He made some clutch plays. He did, but considering what the products were last year, what is that really saying? What is that really saying? There was some plays he didn't make for us last year either. you know, that he probably should have made. And so you could use that argument too, Charles. So the Chiefs are looking for consistency. Okay. Like I said, this is not a popularity contest. It's all about production. And so if we're looking at the numbers, right, what Justin Watson had last year, okay, see, stat-wise, what did he have, Marcus? I mean, kind of look at it.
Gotcha. Justin Ross or Watson?
Watson. So Watson had 27 receptions for 460 yards, 17 average, 3 touchdowns. Okay, that's what he had. Can you get that production out of somebody else? Sure. You sure could. He was in that, you know, as far as like they were talking about drops, not necessarily being on the same page with the right routes. He was kind of in that conversation. Like I said before, you know, I like Justin Watson, but the Chiefs may try to push to get somebody else.
And that's something that Ilya Beeman brings up a good point. We can't even hide anybody on the practice squad.
That's true.
And this is, I want to hear your thoughts on this. I think with Remigio or Ross, if they went to the practice squad, I think they'd be snatched up. I think if Watson was able to go there, I don't think he'd be like claimed. I think we could easily send Watson to the practice squad, and I don't think he'd be like a team would go ahead and grab him. But I think Ross provides something that a lot of people don't have. Remigio provides a skill set that, yeah, I mean, you have water bugs all throughout the league, but playing the slot to be a return man, I think he brings a little bit more to the table than Watson does. And I think that Watson, you could probably put him on your practice squad, and as with the other two, they'd be claimed pretty fast. That's my opinion. What do you think about that?
No, I agree with you. I think you can do that because if, as John Clifford says here, KT one mistake away from later. So yeah, that hey, you got a guy right here. Say this, hey, you mess up, this other guy moves up immediately. So that's a good thing because you have guys in the waiting that can come here and play. So like I said, this is a great problem to have. But if you do have a guy like that, like Remigio, let's say he's not one of the seven. He could be on the practice squad just in waiting for these guys. And so I think that, you know, you can make that decision. And look, this is how it happens too, Marcus. You tell a guy like, look, we're going to put you on the practice squad. If nobody claims you, if they do, fine, beautiful. Then that means, you know, you're going to be playing for somebody else. But if not, you know the culture, you know what we want from you. Just be ready when we call you up, okay? Because somebody could not be happy, right? Attitudes may, you know, show up, prevail. That's when you can change things. And I'm telling you, man, right now, nobody's suffering any fools. Andy's not doing it. It's not going to happen. Harmon, good practice squad hangout. Nah, Harmon ain't going there. Harmon ain't going to do it. I don't think he's accomplished enough. I don't think he will be willing to go on a practice. I'm just saying.
The only reason why I'd say I kind of agree with Sean there is the fact that last year he went pretty late in free agency before the Jets signed him. This year he wasn't being touched by anybody, and then we brought him back on a small deal. You know, they traded him for like a bag of chips back to us last year, and then we got him a couple weeks ago in June. I think he's another guy that you could let go, and you could probably get him back on your practice squad. But who knows? Who knows if he even want to do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if he want to do that or not. How desirable is he going to other places? You know, some other teams may be like, "Hey, man, look, like we still see something out of Hardman. We could, you know, might be able to use him." I think because he was with the Jets. You know, teams, because he wanted to get paid last year. That was the thing, too. Teams just weren't willing to pay what he was probably asking. That was a lot of it. That's probably why he was like, we'll kind of pass on it, because he was looking for a bigger payday than what he wanted. So I think it's a different scenario now. So I'm not going to say nobody didn't want him. I think teams wanted him, but they wanted him at a sweet deal, at a better price than what he was willing to give. So that's what I say, like, as far as practice squad, I don't know if he would do something like that. And I'm just going to say as a veteran guy, if you played and you're somewhat accomplished, that is kind of a slight to you. It is. It's kind of disrespectful, I'm going to be honest. So practice squad ain't for everybody. Some guys were like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. Okay. So, and then of course you might be, try to shop a guy like that around. So that's the reality. That's the reality of the NFL, man. Sorry. That's the truth. So,
yeah. Yeah. But bottom line, the moral story is there's a lot of guys, the Chiefs have their hands full with pretty good talent in the wide receiver room. And it's a beautiful thing to say and beautiful thing to hear based on what we went through last year in the wide receiver room. So I like what we got.
Yeah. And Donna Cochran said, haven't seen Worthy work yet. Will he transition to the NFL? First rounders don't always work out. Nah, he'll be fine. Look, as a first rounder, we paying this guy, we're going to have to work out. We will have patience with this guy to make sure he works out, Donna. Okay. So we got money invested. That's money invested. And so with this happening, and to be honest with you, he's probably at one of the best places he could possibly be as a rookie.
Oh yeah.
But you do have guys in front of you who have played, accomplished, could help you out. We will be extremely patient with Xavier Worthy. He'll work out. He'll be fine.
And his skill set's perfect for the Chiefs. It's going to be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we'll be good.
Just get that hamstring figured out.
Yeah, Andres and Harmon going to make the team. I believe that, too. Harmon's going to be here. That's why they made sure they brought him back, and they was up and down because it's like, if we don't have Rashid Rice, then they start looking at guys. They start looking at KT, start looking at Sky Moore, start looking at Remigio and Ross and Watson. That's the reason they brought Harmon back, right?
It's true.
When you start looking at that list, they was like, hey, we need to bring a guy back, somebody that knows. And that's the reason they brought Harmon, because they was kind of on the fence with these guys. So we could tell the tale of that. So that's why I don't see them kind of getting rid of Harmon, because they know Harmon. Harmon knows the offense. He knows it really well. But he can help these guys get, ascend faster than what they would have done if they didn't have a guy like that there. So, hey, man, it all depends. At the end of the day, who the Chiefs love and who they feel like they can use.
Yeah.
Hannah says, KT has some attitude negativity when he isn't Mahomes' favorite target. And he does drop that ball. They had the drops all last year. It was going around. It was a bug going around. Okay. Yep. So maybe he's out of his head this year. That's what I'm hoping. I hope hope his attitude's changed. Hopefully, we'll get something out of him, what he can give. Okay.
Yeah.
So
we'll see. So, plenty of time in the training camp to figure out how guys are feeling. He's had about 4 months to get over what he had to get over. So hopefully everyone's good to go now.
Yeah. Hey, look. Hey, thank you all for your list. Every single one of you guys are right. Every single one of you. Okay. We just have to see everything shakes out. Andre is laughing at me.
We shall see, brother.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That comes to the end of our show. We hope you guys enjoyed it. We loved hearing your guys' takes on all the AFC West team. We love hearing your guys' takes on the wide receiver room as well. Seeing what everyone's top seven. It was a very tough task, JD. You got me on record on a few different scenarios.
I love it. Neff called you out even more. Like, hey, Marcus has 3 or 4 categories. You know, wow, this guy amazing. He gonna make it. He said, okay. I was like, I'm just gonna listen. Right? I dance around everything, Marcus. I see you. Like, yeah.
I was for my Remigio with that. With that take.
Good deal. Now listen. Hey, look. Thank you all for joining us. Without a doubt, we had a great time talking to you all about this. We always love your input. No doubt about it. This has been fun. I love you all. We keep this thing going. All right. Peace. Illy Beeman, Donna, Kathy, Gary, Andrea, Wendy, Charles Driver, Michael Donovan. Okay. Good seeing you, man. Harmon and Watson are proven floor skill players, and others are potential. Yeah. Yeah. We'll just have to see. We had to see. Good take. Lacey, John, Hannah. Let me see. Who else are we missing? Donna, did we say Donna? I'm sure we did. John Clifford, good seeing you, my brother. Kathy Welch, if you're still here, good seeing you. Remember, Biff, traveling man. Everybody else, I'm the Brown. Good seeing you. Neff, you still there? Love you. Have a good night. We'll talk soon. Shoot, everybody else, Marcus, man, love you, man. It's a good conversation. Good conversation. Sleepy Face, seen him on there, so good thing. Good thing. All right. Yeah,
great lively chat tonight, everybody. We loved everyone doing their thing in the chat. You guys make us laugh. you guys are good. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed our episode. We hope you guys have a great weekend, and we will see you right back here Monday night. Love you, everybody.
Love y'all. Y'all take care. God bless. Y'all be good. Be safe.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for watching. Subscribe here to get the latest from the show. Also, be sure to check out the best clips from Chief Concerns. And if you prefer to listen to the show, subscribe and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.